He knows the heavens. He's intimate with the big man himself, Astro Dave Renicky from DaveRenicky.com. Hello, sir.
Oh, checks in the mail, Vilko. How are you?
I'm very good. Big event happening planet-wise this week we all need to be aware of. Not that it will change our lives, but it is of interest.
Look, there's two good things about this. One, it's free, and one, you won't see it for quite some time. It's an alignment of planets. When we say an alignment of planets, we do mean that. All in a straight line leading up from the horizon, and beginning this week, best time to look at it, probably halfway through the month. But then again, there's a bit of a minus there because they're going to have a full moon on the 18th. Look, simply put, go outside, start to have a look from the end of this week, and you'll see Mercury low down. We're talking about maybe half an hour after sundown. I wouldn't leave it too much later. Very tiny star-like object on the horizon in the west. A little star-like, that's Mercury. Above it, brilliant bright Venus, very close. And then we've got Mars. Mars is the reddish-coloured star above them. Big gap as you climb up overhead, as you crane your neck almost overhead, you'll see Jupiter and Saturn together close in the sky. So there are five planets, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, in the sky in one fell swoop. Nice to have a look at. You don't need binoculars, but if you do have a small telescope, and you put it on Jupiter, you can see the moons around the outside spinning around there.
Oh,
you can also see the rings of Saturn, because at the moment, the rings on Saturn are wide open. Every 29 years, it sort of closes up, and you can't see them. But now
so you can see
time.
The definition between them from our angle.
You can if you've got a bigger telescope, but a small one, you won't. But look, the idea of this is not to really use any aid whatsoever, just enjoy the sight. And remember that in one part of the sky, you've got the five major planets in the sky there. And these are the only ones that the ancient people knew about up until modern times, because nobody has a telescope.
Until Astro Dave Renicky came along, now we all know.
Right.
Now, we know James Doohan had his ashes shot into space. He's a character from Star Trek, of course. But is there a business now wanting to offer their services?
Yeah, and have a guess where they come from. It's US of A.
Yeah, right. Are they fans of Star Trek, are they?
Yeah, well, I guess so. Look, this is a good story. I like it. It's not tacky. It's done with respect. It's space burials. The utmost care and respect taken here. Look, if you want to, you can have it in your will if you want to. There's a company called Celestis, C-E-L-E-S-T-I-S, who specialise in space burial. Simply put, your ashes or your loved one's ashes are put into a lipstick-sized container. Not all the ashes, of course, along with 50 or 100 others. They're shot into space and you can spend eternity floating around the Earth. Now, the cost of this is very, very cheap compared to an ordinary funeral, probably around half the price, around $2,500. There's an extended burial service which puts you in a higher orbit, which means that you're up there for a much longer period of time for double that amount.
So you will eventually burn away, though, won't
you? Yeah, you'll come back as a meteorite, yep. Someone will see you streaking through the sky one night and say, look at that.
I think the biggest obstacle, Dave, will be family who, a lot of the old school would want something tangible. They'd love to go and visit your gravesite or maybe have your ashes in their hands.
But then again, a lot of people scatter them in the sea.
Yeah, true. But
I don't see any difference in that. Look, I know what you're saying. Yeah, I would prefer to have a memorial place or a place where I could and pay my respects if that would happen.
Well,
to
have
somebody.
A plaque somewhere.
Well, a plaque would be a good idea. You could do both if you wanted to. I don't see any problem with that, because you're only putting a portion of the ashes into the lipstick-sized container. You're not putting the whole lot. So you could do a double thing. And the good part about this is that there's a ceremony before the launch. There's a service. And when they're finished, the whole thing's put on a DVD for you.
Oh, okay. Is that your wish, Dave? Do you want to be shot into space?
I would think so. I wouldn't mind. I mean, I'd love to... I'd love to go up while I can see what's going on, but if I have an alternative, I'd probably go. So you keep that in mind if it does happen one day.
How would your wife handle you shooting into space? Is that it?
No, she's had a gutful of... No, she's not into this sort of thing. Every time I say, come and have a look at this through the telescope, it's another excuse to stay indoors.
She goes back to winners and losers on TV. Fair enough. Now, we've talked about this before. Like, you know, someone has said, let's go and clean up the junk in space. However, there is a mission about to launch for real, Dave.
This is a good idea. It's an idea whose time has come. It's, how can I say, it's way out. It's pretty much what fishermen do. They go out into the ocean, they throw a big net out, and they trawl in all the fish. company now called Remove Debris. That's what they're called. They've teamed up with some financiers, and what they're doing, they're trying to get. They're going to have a big net. They're going to disgorge it. How it works is, I've got to explain it to you.
Is this a literal net?
Sorry?
Is this a literal net like you'd have?
It is a net. Yeah, in every sense of the word, it is a net. There are about 7,000 tons of space junk in, orbiting the Earth at the moment. We need to clean the ones up that aren't operating anymore, the dead ones. And this is the whole idea of it, because we can only pick things up 10 centimetres and above. It's the little bits and pieces you can't see that could do all the damage. So what they do is they launch a spacecraft, a rocket, and put it into orbit with a platform. This platform carries three things in it. It carries a net, a harpoon, and a sail, like a parasail. Now, what they do is what they're going to do is they're going to test the idea. They're going to throw some space junk in front of it, and that space junk will float around, and they're going to fire a little, push a little button, and this net will shoot out like a harpoon would shoot out.
It's almost like a comedy strip, Dave.
Yeah, it sounds weird, but it'll envelop the space junk,
right.
And what it'll do, it'll be put into a position where it's guided towards the Earth, and then a parachute will open up as it hits the upper atmosphere, and the whole thing will gradually burn up. That's the idea behind it. They've also got a harpoon. They're going to try and do that. Use that as a device that actually harpoons the dead satellite or the booster or whatever you want, and directs it down towards the Earth where it burns up. It's a good idea. It's the only idea that's workable.
Yeah, okay.
But whether it works or not, whether it really does happen in real time, I don't know. They're going to try and launch this, I think, early next year. We should see some results from it.
Can't wait to see the video on the nightly news. If it all goes horribly wrong, we'll certainly know about it.
Yes.
Anyway, hey, before you go, Dave, as you know, we've had that mission to check out Jupiter, and we did touch on this last week, but the red spot has changed. This massive, I suppose it's always been the mark of Jupiter. It's now gone smaller, has it?
Well, we all grew up with this. We all learned about it in school, and Galileo saw the giant red spot in the 17th century. It is getting smaller. It is getting a little bit less red each decade, but it's still there. And the fact that it's still there is a mystery in its own. What causes the giant red spot? Astronomers think it may be a tornado, an eternal tornado that sucks material up from underneath, lets it flow over the top, then drops it back down to the surface again. There must be something on the surface of Jupiter or within that region that's causing this to happen.
Oh, right.
It could be volcanic, we don't know. But one thing we do know, when they measured the atmosphere of Jupiter, and it should be very cold, but it's not, and the reason for that is it seems to be coming from the giant red spot. There seems to be a heat source of some sort that's part of that giant red spot that's mixing into the atmosphere of Jupiter and causing it to be warmer than what it should be. In fact, the upper atmosphere of Jupiter, and this is a place that's five times further away from the sun than we are, the atmosphere temperature is about the same as what it is here on Earth in the upper atmosphere too.
Okay.
So there's something going on with that giant red spot. Not only is it a mystery of why it's there, but it's also a mystery of why it's heating the planet up.
Yeah, probably something to do with the fact that Jupiter could have been another sun in our solar system.
Who knows? We don't know. But the Juno spacecraft is in position now to start doing some real science. We should see some results coming back later this month or early the month after.
Are there any live feeds coming out from Juno, or is it just reports on the NASA website?
I think there's some photographs being taken. They're putting it into position now. They say it could take up to 2 months before they're ready to do their science. But they've got to gradually push this into the right orbit. It's into its second orbit now. And what they're doing is just jockeying for the right position. I think you'll find we'll see some results soon.
All these and more stories at davidrenicki.com, linked up now at our website if you want to take a look at it. Thank you again, sir.
Thanks.